have a time to let some women share their testimonies. Because a lot of times, you know, we go about life, and as women, I feel like we think, oh, that's no big deal. Oh, I don't need to share that. They were surprised when I asked them to share their testimony, and I'm so glad that they are courageous enough to sit before you today and to just share what the Lord has been doing, and I hope that it's encouraging and connects with some of you as well. So I'm going to start with Roberta Allen. She teaches, what, first and second Sunday school during first service every Sunday. So you may have seen her. She has four kids, and she's a joy to know and to talk to, and so I'll let you start.
So, when Andrea asked me to share this, I kind of thought, like, well, it's not a big deal. Like, no one's going to care. But then I realized that when God does anything in our lives that changes us and brings us to where we are now, it's definitely worth sharing. So I did a short and condensed version for you guys. But in July 2020, my husband retired from the military after 21 years of service. And our plan had always been that he would retire, he'd get a new job, and then we'd start phase two of life. And as we know, God has other plans for us, and they didn't go quite that way. So the job market wasn't good. It was the middle of pandemic, and it was harder to find a job than he first expected. So he went on many interviews, and many doors were shut, and it was so discouraging. But we just relied on God, and we kept trusting him. And he finally, in November, 4 months later, he finally got a job. And that in itself is like a whole nother testimony of how good God is. But for now, I'm going to share a different part. So our plan was like, okay, he's not getting a job, but we have his retirement check to live off of for a little while. And again, God had different plans because August 1st came, there was no check. September 1st came, there was no check. And his last paycheck he had gotten was July 15th, I believe that. And so we're going like almost 2 months. And come to find out, in the computer system, they had just forgot to check a certain box, and they retired him from active duty, but not from the National Guard. So he wasn't retired in the system. So therefore, that's why we weren't getting paid. And because it was after September 1st, we had to wait till October 1st for the first check. So we were like, what are we going to do? We had already used all of our savings in August to pay for like rent and all our, you know, bills and utilities. And normally we would have been probably beyond nervous, freaking out, just kind of scared. And going back to the beginning of COVID, when the whole world was crazy and no one knew what was going on, my husband and I weren't feeling that same nervousness. And so I went to God and I was like, please tell me, what am I supposed to be feeling? What am I supposed to be doing? And I felt him speak to me so clearly. He said, you need to trust me, follow me, and like stick close to me. And it was like a command. It wasn't like I was just reading Bible verses. It was just like the strong command that I needed to stay close to him. So we have four kids, and we were so close during that time, and we definitely, we were praying together and reading the Bible together, and we were really being as faithful as we could, not in our own strength, but God was really just doing something with us, and we feel like we were in this bubble, and we were just floating through, and God was helping us. So we were already in this amazing place of trust and believing that he was going to fulfill every promise he had told us. So now going back, we have no money. We were scared, but we weren't like freaking out the way we normally would have been. So I'm trying to think. So we the biggest thing is you want to feed your four kids, right? And I can't even explain, like, we didn't have any change. We had already rolled coins for the national, you know, when the change of the coin shortage, we had already gotten rid of change in our house. Like, we literally had nothing, like, not a dime to our name. And God is so amazing at how he knows what's going to happen ahead of time, and he already plans that out, because maybe April of that year, this amazing woman from church, I don't see her here, but she had texted out of the blue, and she said she had been reading an article about how military families would be struggling during the pandemic, and did we need any food? And I was like, no, we're fine. There's always someone better off and someone worse off. So I didn't want to take food away from somebody that needed it. And she's like, nope, that's what we're here for. And she started bringing groceries to us. And it was such a humbling thing to say yes, because I don't know, I guess it was a pride thing maybe, where like I was doing good budgeting and I didn't need to worry about that. But things were tight. So we definitely did. So I humbled myself and we said yes, and she was bringing groceries like every other month. We did tell her when the paycheck stopped and we were getting worse and worse. We just mentioned it to us, and she's like, okay, I'll bring it every week. And she did. And we never worried about food. We always had, meals for every meal for 7 days, and it was such a blessing, and my kids got to see the blessing, because there was times when one of my daughters said something like, I wish I could have a bowl of Frosted Flakes, and then in the next package of groceries, there was a box of Frosted Flakes, and like, we ran out of dish soap, and I'm like, I can't even go to the dollar store to get a bottle to do dishes, and the very next thing, there was a huge bottle of dish soap. And like, God cares about those little things, you know, more than we even realize. And so we were so grateful, and the kids would be so excited on Friday afternoons. They would dig into the bags, and they would hold everything up and say, thank you, Jesus. Like, they were so grateful, and they got to see that it wasn't by chance that this was happening. They understood that it was God providing, and he was watching out for us. And so we're just in awe of goodness. And we don't take any of that for granted. And when we look back, it was 19 weeks we went from paycheck to paycheck. And it's like, I can't even go 2 days now without, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to wait till Friday for payday. But we did 19 weeks, and we weren't in want of anything. God provided everything that we needed, and even more that we didn't know we needed. But he showed up big time, and we are so grateful to him. Yeah. Like that part. Just about my husband's job. So God opened many doors, but he closed many doors, like, way too tightly. There was two separate times he went for an interview, and he's like, I think it went great, and we would never hear from those two companies two separate times, and we were like, these are legit companies, like, why aren't they calling? And he would call and email, and no one would answer, and it was so weird, because they were answering service places where somebody should physically be picking up. And now we see it was God closing those doors, like, it wasn't the right job. And then finally, at the beginning of November, he comes home and he's like, listen, this interview went amazingly, but I thought that the other two times. So he's like, if this company isn't a Christian company, they're really close. They had all the same like beliefs that we did and the way they valued their employees. So he's like, but I'm leaving it in God's hands. And we prayed. And the very next morning, he he was given the job. And it was so awesome to watch God move in our lives. And He had to work the night shifts, and he was like, well, I want to move up in the company. And the people told him it would be 5 years before he could do that. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to do it in a year. And they're like, no, five. And he told them, he's like, well, I got God on my side. And in 11 months, he moved up to the first shift supervisor position. More money, better hours. It was so God. So God is so good.
It was. He is good. Yeah, through this, I met with Roberta several times just to get the kids together. And she was always so positive. It was amazing. Like, it's really amazing how God has blessed them and used this. I mean, even for her kids to see it. And, you know, it was very, very tangible and real to them. Our next testimony is Pam Fleming. So you feel free to share.
Hi, everybody. So just about a year ago, some major changes happened in my life, which resulted in the Lord leading me to go part-time in the position that I had. That was a huge step of faith for me, but I was also door dashing on the side, so I figured that I'd be okay and the bills would still get paid, etc. And not to panic, after all, if God is leading me to do this, I'd be okay. As the year went on, I kept sensing that another major change was coming to my job. But I wasn't sure if the Lord was telling me to totally leave my position or if my current duties would be changing. It just wasn't clear to me, but I knew change was coming, and I kept getting the date, December 31st. Again, wasn't sure what it meant, but kept seeking God on it. I thank God for my boss, who supported me with prayer and walked alongside of me while trying to figure all these things out. Through much prayer and several confirmations, it was determined that I leave my current position at the end of November, but stay on for a month to train my replacement. December 31st would be my official last day in the office. After that, I would be doing projects from home as a subcontractor. I'm thinking, great, this is perfect. I'll work from home and still be able to DoorDash. I'll be all set until God tells me otherwise. I can do this. Well, my plans quickly change, as you can see. The day after Thanksgiving, I had just gone home from door dashing and was rushing to take my dog, Duke, outside for a walk. I had Duke in one hand and my cell phone in the other, and when I got up from the couch, I lost my balance and fell on the floor, my foot under my knees, with my dog in my hand, fell underneath me. He was okay, my foot wasn't. I knew right away there was something wrong. Went to the ER and was told it was a sprain and I should be fine. After a week of not getting better, I went to an orthopedic surgeon and was told that it was a ligament injury and needed surgery. I was in total shock, didn't expect to hear that. Thought it might be a fracture and maybe a cast be put on it. Panic and fear started to set in when they started giving me the rundown of how long I'd be out of commission, with non-weight bearing on my foot, and that I would need help at home, et cetera, et cetera. I explained to them that I lived by myself and my family lived on the West Coast, and I wasn't sure how I could do this, that I needed some time to figure things out and get things in order. I had to work, had to pay bills, and the list goes on. Fear and anxiety tried to take over. I prayed for healing, had others praying for healing, while I was making calls to get a second opinion, hoping that they'd tell me that I didn't need surgery. I couldn't get an appointment anywhere. Doctors were booked out for months. It was becoming quite clear that God was directing me to have the surgery. No other doors opened except this one. He knew exactly what he was doing. His hand was on everything. The surgeon's office was awesome. They knew my situation and was able to schedule the surgery so I could stay at least overnight and possibly longer. The surgery was scheduled for January 3rd, which was a Monday. My official last day in the office was Friday, December 31st. No wonder I kept getting that date. God already knew what was going to happen to me and why December 31st needed to be my last day at the office. Then the surgery was almost canceled due to the uptick of COVID cases. Again, God's hand was on it. My surgeon put me on an essential surgery list, so I was one of only a few people scheduled for surgery. By the grace of God, I ended up staying in the hospital not for one day, but 6 days. People were shocked. That was unheard of and a miracle in itself. The next step was either going to rehab or going home. I was nervous about going home and being by myself because I could not put any weight on my foot. Again, fear tried to creep in. The social worker at the hospital tried to get me into a rehab, but to no avail. The only option was going home with visits from the occupational and physical therapists. I was definitely concerned and nervous, but not God. He had a plan and continued to move the chess pieces on the chessboard on my behalf. He set me up. So many things happened that were orchestrated by God, going back even as far as 2 years ago when I moved into my condo. After looking at several others, I finally bought it because it was the only one that was on one floor and accessible for my mom, who was in a wheelchair. I made some renovations based on my mom's needs and with her in mind, never ever thinking that it would be me in a wheelchair needing to safely navigate through the house. But God knew. He had things already planned out. He purposely led me to purchase this condo. There was no doubt in my mind, and my faith got a little stronger remembering this. This part here I thought of I needed to add in regarding my mom. She's in a nursing home with dementia, and I'm an only child, so I'm her caretaker and make decisions. She was diagnosed with cancer, skin cancer, in October, and the earliest appointment they could get to have it removed was in January, and it was a few weeks after my surgery. This is when another thing that God showed his sovereignty and that he was in control of everything and not me. I was the one I was supposed to go with her, and I got nervous. I panicked. I said, this is my mom. She's got dementia. How can I leave her to go have surgery by herself? But he took care of that. He made sure there was a really good aide that was with her, and he pretty much told me, it's like, I can take better care of your mom than you can. So it was another way he showed me he was taking care of the whole situation and not to fear and not to worry because he's got it. Then all I could think about, it was during this time, was the Bible study we did on Elijah last year and how God supernaturally provided for him while he was alone in the wilderness. Elijah was totally dependent on God for his survival. I wasn't in the wilderness per se, but I had my own wilderness experience right in my own home where I was totally dependent on the Lord for provision. He didn't send me ravens with food, but he did send wonderful friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers, not only with food, but with help and prayers. He provided me with an awesome occupational therapist and physical therapist, and the list goes on, and my faith increased a little more. I've learned so much, a lot of lessons during the season. But I think the number one lesson I've learned is trusting and clinging to God more and fearing the unknown and the what ifs less. I'm really getting to know God as my heavenly Father who loves me and who is my ultimate source for provision. I'm learning to trust him more by submitting to his process of removing any fear and anxiety that is in me. I truly believe that while he didn't cause me to fall, he is definitely using the situation to set me free from fear and anxiety. I'm not completely there yet, but I'm on my way. There's hope. I'm also learning how to slow down. That was the big thing, slowing down. Walking to, with my dog and the cell phone, that was not smart. I now have no choice but to slow down, but I believe that's another part of God's plan. He doesn't want me going 100 miles per hour and anymore and saying yes to everything. I'm learning now how to say no. Not easy, but need to do it. He wants me to be still and know, to be content where I am in this season, to rest in him more, and to be led by Holy Spirit. And my faith continues to grow. This past year has definitely been an adventure with him, not something that I would purposely choose, but yet wouldn't change either. I give him all the glory and looking forward to more adventures with him.
Amen. So I am currently about 2 weeks shy of the halfway point in my pregnancy. I feel like I am much too big to be just 17 and a half weeks, but I hear that happens with your second pregnancy. And this is my second tiny human. And my husband and I are full of all the hope in the world that we will get to keep this one earthside. Our first son, Asher Reese, was stillborn at 36 weeks on March 23rd of 2021. The cause of Asher's death was especially difficult for us to grapple with because there was absolutely nothing we could have done to prevent it. It was just one of those really horrible things that happens in a fallen world. And while I know that my son got to escape all the horrors of this fallen world and that the first thing he saw when he opened his eyes was Jesus, I still wish it was different. And that is the beginning of this part of my testimony. One of the biggest lessons that I learned after Asher's death is that nobody really knows what to say to you when you lose a child, except other parents who have lost a child. The most comforting words I received in the weeks following Asher's death were from my friend Ashley, who had lost her little boy a little less than a year before. And she told me in her dining room that our mission as moms is to get our kids to heaven, and that I had already done that. And the truth of my son's residence in heaven and the eventual promise of our reunion is something that I cling to in my darkest moments. I took a month off of work after I delivered Asher. I spent a lot of time with my family, and Troy and I were absolutely overwhelmed by the amount of love and support we received from both our community at church and outside. However, I still spent most of my time crying. But not crying out to God, just crying. And then a lot of my old habits started to creep in. So I grew up in the church, but I did not come to know the Lord really until I was in my early to mid-20s, which gave me a lot of time to form some really bad coping habits. And they all came back at once. So I started smoking cigarettes again. I was consuming the kind of media that I had no business consuming. I was speaking in ways that would make a sailor blush. If you don't get that reference, come see me. I'll explain it later. And I was neglecting my health. I was slipping back into old eating disorder behaviors, which I'd been in recovery from for years, and I wasn't taking care of my diabetes. However, on the surface, I looked like I was healing great. I was more involved in ministry than ever before. Troy and I entered marriage counseling, which I'm still convinced was a gift from God that saved our marriage. And I started forming new friendships within my church community. But behind closed doors, I was fighting all those same old demons and some new ones. And then there was this ongoing struggle between me and Troy where I desperately wanted to try for another baby, and he was adamant that we wouldn't. But the Lord, not surprisingly, had other plans. And I feel like that's kind of been the theme of today, right? Is that his plans are greater than ours, and man, that's so true. So he met me right where I was at, which at this particular moment was curled up on the floor of my bedroom crying. And he kicked down the walls that I had put up around myself and hidden behind. And he reminded me that I can cast every care on him, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and that he is strong and capable of carrying what is just too heavy for us. He is our redemption and our joy and the truest and most pure form of love that there is. So I read a Facebook group post a few weeks ago from a Lost Moms group, and one of the lines in it served as kind of the framework for how I wanted to form my testimony and communicate just how incredible God is to all of you. And that line was, "The attempt at what is not guaranteed is the truest form of hope there is." And that made me think of Hebrews 11:1, which is, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen." This is a secular Facebook group, so I love when like God works in that super cool way. So March 19th of 2021, so this day last year, I believe that pregnancy equals baby. Pregnancy loss was something that happened to other women, but it wasn't going to happen to me. March 19th of 2021 was also the last time I saw my son move or heard his heartbeat. It was a Friday, and I went back into the doctor the following Monday, and there was no heartbeat. So that day, March 19th, right, the last time I heard his heartbeat, it was strong and so was my faith. And then all at once, neither of them were. So while Asher's heartbeat never came back, though we prayed it would, and I know that the people around us were praying the same, my faith did. And it's stronger than ever. I was never angry at God. I never blamed him for what had happened. I had done way too much deep dive studying into his character to blame him. But I was so lost in my grief that I didn't have the strength to keep that faith up, to open my Bible, to fold my hands in prayer, to lift them in worship unless somebody was watching, or even to type out a message to somebody saying, "I need help." So because of that, it's taken me this long. But one thing that I've learned in the ups and downs of life and the times of stronger faith and weaker faith is that while I change, he doesn't. He is steadfast and constant, and he is the only guarantee in this world. He is where my hope comes from, and he is the best guarantee that there is. Amen. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. This is just exciting news that just happened. I just felt a baby kick for the first time about 10 minutes ago while we were sitting up here, and I told Pam, and I was like, I gotta tell everybody now.
That is exciting. That's very good. Very good news. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the testimonies. Did you enjoy the testimonies? Some of you may have connected with one. Maybe you've experienced similar things, and that's just part of the excitement of being part of the body of Christ. And I'm excited to see how the Lord will continue to work in this body and in this group of women. Recently, we have had a strong move of the Spirit. There was a Sunday morning in February where we interrupted service, and it seems like from that Sunday, there's just been like a shift, almost like a sense that change and new is coming. And I believe that we are on the brink of new things. I was thinking of the theme rising, and some people have asked, "Well, what's the theme? Well, what does rising mean?" And I thought, well, maybe I need to explain the heart behind the theme and the things that Jessica has spoken about, the testimonies and how it has all kind of worked together. When I was thinking about it, I thought back to the Bethany tree. You know, how we changed our logo a couple months. It's probably been longer than that. I lose track. But not just the tree, but what it represented with the root system, with the rich history and the, you know, the stability, the foundations of Bethany, where some of you have been here for a long time and you are so faithful. But we need those nutrients to be coming up the tree so that the new branches and the new fruit that is born has that support. So kind of like the Mordecai thing. You gotta pour in, you gotta move those nutrients so that we can be supporting one another. And so it kind of started like that. I mean, there's the whole COVID thing, feeling, well, you could have felt stuck or at least stagnant. And it was so easy to just not do anything, to watch service at home, not be committed to a ministry or church attendance or whatever. People felt stuck in different ways. It affected Roberta in a certain way. It affected Pam. And it was just, yeah, the timing of all of these. Yet God was still working so powerfully and so faithfully. And I know for many of you too, like the COVID season stunk, but God remained so faithful and did such amazing things through it. And one thing that was mentioned in all of the testimonies was how people came alongside Roberta. People came alongside Pam. People came alongside Carrie. And it was these relationships and this partnership that we have for the kingdom. It's not just, yeah, we're family, we stick together, but we have such a greater purpose. And it all starts with Jesus. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the passage in Luke 4, where Jesus stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And in John 1, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome." It all starts with Jesus. He has changed our lives, and we have such a greater purpose. Colossians tells us he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have that freedom in Jesus. We are aware of the darkness in the world and the darkness, the weight of our circumstances. And with COVID, it was a lot of fear and a lot of isolation. That is right where the enemy would love to keep us. And we groan. We know. I mean, creation groans for the Lord's return. We long for that. But what do we do in the meantime? Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Do you know the old tune? "Arise, shine for the light." I know the old tune, and it was in my head thinking about this verse. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." God's light has shone upon us and within us, because we have the Holy Spirit and he is doing a work. His light has come into our lives and changed us. How will we respond? Later in that same chapter in Isaiah 60, it says, "Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified." We are the work of his hands, connected to the true vine, the root of Jesse. Will we display his glory? So as I thought about this and I prayed about this, following the Lord's leading seemed like the obvious. Like, why don't I call the conference, like, "Women Who Follow, Follow"? So I was still, like, tinkering with, like, what word describes all of this? And I think rising conveys something maybe a little bit different from following. Both require submission. Both require humility. In order to rise or to grow, we may need to endure a season of learning so that maybe my roots can grow a little bit deeper. Or maybe I need a time of pruning or refining. Remembering, you know, the passage, be holy. You know, we want to be holy because the Lord is holy. So maybe I needed some refining so that the fruit I display isn't for my glory, but it is clearly for the Lord. A time of pruning or waiting may mean my fruit is multiplied into an even more glorious display. But again, not for me. It's all for the Lord. I am the work of his hands, and I want him to be glorified. So when I think about rising, I think about a change in position. I thought about how plants dance throughout the day because they're following the path of the sun. So am I following the path of the sun? Am I leaning forward, putting feet to my faith, following where the Holy Spirit would want to lead? Because remember, our light has come. He has shone upon us and within us. So as we are following and growing and bearing fruit and all of these things, we are all part of the tree doing this together so that we can grow deeper and taller and be a more glorious representation of all that he is doing in this body, providing for needs, you know, blessing us with lots of babies. There are lots of pregnant women. You know, helping us, helping our bodies to heal, helping us to overcome fear. Pastor Chuck had a word from the Lord recently. It went out in a letter this week from Stephen, but I wanted to read that too because I thought, wow, that really goes along with our theme and what's being said here today. So the word from the Lord says, my spirit blows as it will. Will you move with my spirit? Will you open the gates of your heart and church so that the King of glory may come in? Hunger and thirst after my righteousness, and you will receive an abundance that will overflow to bless others. My spirit is moving to bring about a shaking and a rebuilding on the foundation that I have established. We are the branches of his planting, the work of his hands. We have heard the good news. We've seen the great light and have been changed by it. So will you move with the Holy Spirit? Will you rise to open the gates of your heart so that he can come in and work through you? Will you rise in obedience to the work that he has called you to do? We have seen how he orders our steps, how he has things all planned out even before we are aware of the situation. Praise God.